www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The era of strategic patience is over.
Echoing the words of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson a couple of weeks ago, Vice President Mike Pence makes a surprise visit to the Korean demilitarized zone just hours ago, saying all options are still on the table when it comes to dealing with North Korea.
The world witnessed the strength and resolve of our new president in actions taken in Syria and Afghanistan. North Korea would do well not to test his resolve.
The 121st Boston Marathon's underway at this hour in Boston. Before it stepped off, the city mayor said at a news conference Sunday,
like last year, we'll have police officers on the route, undercover, on the streets.
Mayor Marty Walsh saying they've also parked dump trucks at key intersections to prevent truck bombs, and for the first time ever, they're using drones to keep an eye on the crowd. You're listening to USA Radio News.
High blood pressure is affecting Americans in epidemic proportions. If you're one of the millions trying to reduce your blood pressure to improve your health, there is a great new way to help you do it without drugs. It is the Zona, Z-O-N-A Plus. Air Force researchers discovered this effective and non-invasive treatment that works with isometric therapy. Check it out now at OrderZona.com or call 800-936-9080. Clinical studies have shown more than a 10% drop in blood pressure for regular users of Zona Plus. Get yours today by calling 800-936-9080 or going online to OrderZona.com. Listeners of this station will save $50 by using promo code USA2017. Reduce your blood pressure now the safe and drug-free way. 800-936-9080 or OrderZona.com and use promo code USA2017. That's 800-936-9080.
Cleveland police are urging a suspect who shot and killed a man live on Facebook to turn himself in. At a news conference late yesterday, the police chief, Calvin Williams, asking the suspect to end the manhunt peacefully.
We want this to end with as much peace as we can bring to this right now. And we want him to turn himself in.
Authorities say Steve Stevens streamed the deadly shooting on social media pages, including Facebook. Police identify the victim as 74-year-old Robert Goodwin. He was believed to have been a random target. And late word is, authorities believe he could now be heading for New York, although residents of Pennsylvania, Indiana, and Michigan are also urged to be on alert. President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump getting ready to hold their first ever White House Easter egg roll. White House spokesman Sean Spicer saying they were expecting 21,000 people to attend. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for INeedGold.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, INeedGold.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. INeedGold.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. It's a secret market of gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-773-1933, toll free 855-PRE-1933, or go to INeedGold.com.
A mother and her teenage sons are being questioned following the shooting of two Detroit police officers at their home last night. One officer struck in the face and is in critical condition. The other has been treated and released. Police say one of the two sons arrested claims he shot because he mistook the two officers for intruders, as there have been attempted break-ins at their address several times in recent weeks. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch and his fellow justices have some work this week, as we hear from Joe Gomez.
The justices are set to hear a Missouri church's suit Wednesday that is challenging its exclusion from a state program that gives funding for playgrounds. Missouri is one of nearly three dozen states with constitutions that prevent religious institutions from getting public money. The Trinity Lutheran Church claims that the exclusion is discriminating against the religious freedoms under the Constitution.
United Airlines changing its seating policy after a video of that passenger being dragged off a flight last week went viral, causing a public relations nightmare for United. The airline now says employees who need to get on a flight must be seated at least an hour before the plane takes off, or they'll have to wait. And the latest in the Fast and the Furious series is the winner of the weekend box office. In fact, Fate of the Furious raked in $100 million in North America and had the biggest worldwide opening weekend in history. Remember, we're powered by WesternJournalism.com, and for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Today, scattered showers, mainly before 1 p.m. Otherwise, sunny, high in the near 70s. Clear on the overnight tonight, low in the 40s. Sunny on Tuesday, high in the 60s. Chance of shower again on Wednesdays, mainly in the afternoon and Wednesday evening. Lows around 50. Thursday, 50% chance of showers, high in the upper 60s. Chance of rain continuing into the overnight Thursday and into Friday. Looks like it's clearing up for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. We're here at 100andchamberradio.com every Monday around this time, or on the archives if, like most people, you tune in later. Talking about food celebrations, anything else that comes our way today, we have a guest. I have Pete Nercio. He's the owner and general manager of the Black River Spice and Tea Company in Old Wick, New Jersey. Peter, we met last week, and very interesting setup here, dealing with teas and spices, focusing on spices right now. And today we're going to talk with Pete and get to know him a little bit. He may be a regular guest on the show because spices and seasonings, of course, are integral to all types of cooking. It's always nice to have an expert in the field here. And hopefully you get to know Pete, and if you're in the area or have a need, he can be your go-to guy for spices and teas. Welcome, Pete.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
I guess we'll get started here very generally. About that. Old Steely Dan trying to horn in on us here. So, Pete, tell me a little bit, why spices and teas?
Good question. My wife recently retired. Her name is Amy. And I have been actually looking for work for a few years. And she was enjoying retirement, without a doubt, but I wasn't. And I wanted to do something more. After thinking about it and having discussions with Amy, we started looking at things that we enjoyed in common, and one of them was cooking. So we decided, maybe we can do something with that, but opening a restaurant wasn't something we wanted to do. We wanted to do something easier.
I'm going to interject here. Sure. A lot of people think that, I've got retirement, I like to entertain, and I think I'll open a restaurant. And they find out they worked harder than they ever did in their whole life, so you might have made a good choice here.
I think so, too. I mean, we have friends who have been involved in the restaurant business, it is something that is a lot of work, and you got to be there all the time. And that's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to do something that our commute was virtually zilch. I mean, we have several buildings on our property.
So you can operate it right from where
you live. We have converted one of the buildings into a warehouse, and it's an approved manufacturing facility by the state and by the county.
So you went through all the steps, which some people don't do, and then they end up down the road, I got to do this, I got to do that. So you went in with your eyes open.
We went in with our eyes open. I knew there was going to be stuff that needed to be done. And the funny thing was that both the county and the state inspector, they were both really, really pleasantly surprised with how it turned out. Apparently, a lot of people who want to do something, make a product, they don't really think of food safety. And
you would think with spices, why bother? They're dried, right?
Well, there is still potential. I mean, even dried spices, I mean, if you have periods of high humidity, and they absorb moisture, and then you can get fungi growing on them.
Okay.
So you have to have a controlled situation. Our facility has temperature and humidity control. But they were really interested in how we set up our operation, and they said,
you
wouldn't believe it.
Did you research it first, or your background led you to?
You mean in terms of running a business, or particular thing?
Obviously, yeah, you're going to need some business knowledge, but I mean, just the ins and outs of the facility. Like, I wouldn't think that. I know humidity might be an issue, but as far as inspections, I would not have thought that.
This has been an active endeavor for a little over a year.
Okay.
And so I went to the state websites, county website, and learned about starting a business, learning about the food business, and went to the FDA website. You're subject to FDA as well if you do anything interstate.
Is it FDA or USD?
Both, actually, but the FDA will inspect. So, for instance, if I were to go to Rice's Market in Pennsylvania to sell, that's interstate commerce.
Okay.
That's the jurisdiction of the federal government, and it's subject to FDA inspection.
Okay, because I remember I worked in a restaurant where we were selling to a local supermarket prepared products, sausage, meatballs, things like that, anything with... We had to be USDA inspected because it's for resale beyond us. Selling it in a restaurant, you're fine. You're selling to the end consumer, but you're wholesaling.
Spices are imported, and when you start getting into imports,
it's
FDA.
Another layer. Yeah.
So there are locally grown spices. When I say local, I mean indigenous into the U.S., like, for instance, garlic.
Okay.
A lot of it's done in California. It's grown and dried. But in the off seasons, it's grown elsewhere. Right now, most of the garlic that you see granulated or flaked or powdered, that's grown in China.
Yeah, I guess it's, well, the climates are better for it, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, when it's summer on one end of the earth, it's winter on the other, so we can't always have a growing season.
Yeah, and plus now our climate in North America, is it good for it? You see, spices are mostly in exotic subtropical or tropical areas.
Absolutely.
We're good for wine grapes, most of the country, but we're not good for coffee and we're not good for...
That's right. That's right. That was one of the questions that we're going to be at the local farmers market soon. And that was a question is, well, do you grow any of the spices locally? And I said, well, you know, if there's a local crop of black pepper, I'd like to know about it because it'd be really, you know, an oddity.
Oh, maybe with global warming we'll get there, right? They're making champagne in England now, so anything can happen.
That's true. So anyway, we settled down on spice because it was involved in cooking. It's to me, it's probably the most interesting food-associated thing you can do because every spice has its own story, and it's not only that. So there's that interest component, but there was other things. For instance, they're dried, so. The requirements for doing that type of business are much lower than if you're doing fresh produce that can go bad. So, you know, that's another benefit. And the other benefit is that per square inch or cubic inch, I would say, you pack a lot of value.
Yes.
And a good way to see that is next time you go to the supermarket, you'll see all the spices on the shelves, and it'll say this bottle is $4.99, $5.99. But if you look just next to the price, all the stores are required to post price per pound.
Yes.
And then you see cinnamon is like $62 a pound.
Yeah.
So per area, you can pack a lot of value.
Sure.
So if you think about it, with our building, I could if I filled it to the roof with rice. It wouldn't be worth nearly as much as if I fill it with spice.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's why trade routes were. I mean, it's how we got accidentally stumbled upon by the Europeans, right? This country. I mean, they were
absolutely.
Looking for an easier way to get spices. It drove all the trade.
That brings us to sort of like the history because. Today, I guess we're going to be talking about black pepper.
Black pepper, yeah. We're going. I liked your idea on that. Just start. All right, let's start with something basic that everybody kind of takes for granted. Now we call that a spice instead of a seasoning, right?
Right.
Or are the two terms interchangeable?
Seasonings are. They are. People do interchange them, but there's a difference between. A spice and a seasoning, I would say, at least to my mind. Seasonings are often urban spice blends.
Okay.
Whereas spice refers to the often to the seed of a plant.
Okay.
Okay. So.
So spices are more seeds.
Yeah, herbs are going to be the leaf. Yeah. All right, so oregano is an herb, and thyme is an herb, rosemary is an herb. Spices are going to be either the seed, sometimes the bark of a plant, like cinnamon is the inner bark.
Okay.
But cumin, black pepper is another example. What would be another example? Dill seed, that is. That's
dill
a spice,
seed dill
but
weed.
Dill weed is an herb.
And you've got fennel seed, and you've got
fennel, coriander. Those are all. They're either referring to the seed or to the dried fruit.
Okay.
of the. So that's the difference.
All right, we're going to hold that thought right there. We got a break for a couple of messages from sponsors, and then we'll be. Right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Back at the table here, Pete and I were just enjoying a little Eric there. All right, so today I know you wanted to talk about black pepper. It's kind of our lead-in, right?
That's right.
Very versatile. So, how do we get black pepper?
So that's a good question. First of all, black pepper is grown on a plant called Piper nigrum. It's a vine. It grows in tropical areas only, so you can't grow it in New Jersey. Vine's about 30 feet long, and it's a flowering vine, and it's those flowers that once they're pollinated and they start to ripen into fruit, that's the pepper that you harvest. So,
and they have to be hand-harvested, probably?
Well, or? Yeah, because the vines are vertical, so they come out with the ladders, and they it's sort of like little grape bunches. Snip them down, right. and so they're hand-harvested, because they reuse that vine just like grapes, for wine. They don't just mow it all down and replant new.
Oh, no, you've got years and years.
Yeah, yeah. Those vines are quite old, and... there's over 600 varieties of Piper. That's the genus that Piper nigrum is from. And only a few are really commercial. Very, very few. The most successful, of course, is black pepper or Piper nigrum. So it's the dried fruit of the pepper plant or Piper nigrum. Basically, what they do is they harvest the bunches just before they ripen. And there's an actual word for that. It's called Vera Eisen, V-E-R-A-I-S-O-N.
Okay.
It's at the Vera Eisen where they actually cut the bunches off the plant for harvest. They don't let them ripen.
So what would happen if they ripened?
Well, then you get differences. You can actually start making other kinds of pepper, like red pepper.
Okay, all right, all right.
So you want it green, or, yeah, so there's...
So harvested green.
Yeah, so they harvest it just before ripening, not too green, not too, because if you harvest it too early, then you get what's called green pepper. So it turns out that green pepper is not what we're going to be talking about. We'll be talking about black, so the point of happening is that we take the black pepper at the Verizon stage, we take it off, and then what we wind up doing is, at least in India they do this, they boil it for 1 or 2 hours. After it's boiled for 1 or 2 hours, you get what they wind up doing is they wind up taking that pepper and they sterilize it. So now that sterilized pepper can be used in the next step for drying. But that sterilizing step, that 1 or 2 hours of boiling, does two things. Not only does it sterilize the rupture the cell walls of that pepper. And when it ruptures the cell walls, promote the enzymes within to start the enzymatic browning process. So typically in India what they'll do is they'll take the black pepper and they'll put it out onto an area, and they put it out into the sun, and they let it stay exposed to the sun for about 12 days. And they turn them over occasionally, so it dries evenly. Mm-hmm. So what winds up happening is the pepper will shrivel and turn black after 12 days. And at that point, you wind up getting the black peppercorns as you know them when you buy them. So the one difference at that point is that it's mixed in still with all the vine material or the bunch, the little stems. So they have to sift it, and once it's all sifted, you wind up with the final product, which is the black peppercorns, which are separated from everything. So at that point, you can take the peppercorns and put them into packaging. Typically, it's 50 kilogram per package, and then it's exported that way. So that's basically the process for making black pepper. And there are 5 major regions in the world where black pepper is commercially distributed. One of them is India, of course, as we've been talking about. And they export about 100, last year, in 2016, they exported about 130,000 tons.
Okay.
So, which is a lot. The next place that's on the list of major exports is Indonesia. They export about 58,000 tons last year.
Right.
After that is Malaysia, and Malaysia has exported in 2016 around 32,000 tons.
There's nothing. Can you hear anything in there?
Another place you get black pepper from is in the New World area in Brazil. Brazil in 2016 exported 80,000 tons of black pepper. But the single largest up-and-rising region for black pepper right now is Vietnam. And it's fairly recent, too, because Vietnam started out late in the game. But now they are the largest exporters of black pepper in the world.
Wow, small country to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. They right now In 2016, they exported 360,000 tons of black pepper.
Tons,
yeah. Now, they're not the largest producer, though. Still, India is the largest producer.
But they probably use more.
Well, yeah.
A lot of people there to use it, yeah.
You know, it's like enjoying sweets and owning a candy shop. You're your best customer.
Right.
So,
well, a lot of countries, again, wine-producing countries, for example, you know, sometimes they consume most of what they're making. They do export some, but with a big wine, Italy or Spain, somebody like that, big wine-drinking culture, they end up, a lot of it stays right there.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in India's case, remember, they're exporting 130,000 tons. That represents only 10% of what they produce. So 90% of it never leaves India.
Right.
It's consumed right there. So we're talking like 1.3 billion pounds of black pepper being commercially exported annually.
That's just, you know, when you think that when you realize how little that stuff weighs, as you said, it's crazy. I mean, that's a lot of work.
That's a lot.
A lot of growing something somewhere. We're going to break for news for a second here. Can't be proud of
another bad love. What happened?
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As his visit to the Korean Peninsula continues, America's vice president says the United States will not allow North Korea to have nuclear weapons, and it will see to it that it gives up its program.
Through peaceable means or ultimately by whatever means are necessary.
Former U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Christopher Hill is asked if he expects we'll see military action against North Korea.
That's anyone's guess, and probably the North Koreans are doing some guessing about that as we speak. But I think the president is trying to make very clear that he's not interested in being patient anymore.
Hill speaks on CBS's This Morning. The Boston Marathon continues amid very high security.
Drones will also be deployed for the first time this year to scan the crowd for any threats.
Richard Jordan reporting there. They've also parked dump trucks at key intersections to prevent vehicle attacks. This is USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless hair. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's guaranteed. Whether you have wavy hair, tight curls, flat hair, damaged hair, Ovation has a cell therapy system just right for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com.
It's the perfect time to try Ovation Cell Therapy because Ovation is offering a beautiful 5-piece Mother's Day gift set at 50% off and priced so low, you can afford gift sets for every mom you know. Go to OvationHair.com and new customers should select USA News at checkout for an even greater discount. OvationHair.com. OvationHair.com.
Because the music came through. All right, we're back at the table with Pete Nercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company. And we've been talking a little bit about the background of black pepper. And I guess...
Well, it's sort of interesting because we did talk about the major regions.
Right.
And they all have names. Like, for instance, you'll go to the store and you'll see Malabar black pepper. Malabar black pepper is from India.
Okay.
And that's the run-of-the-mill black pepper in India. It's all from the Malabar coast. That's along the southwestern region of India. That's called Malabar, the Malabar coast. And there's a higher grade that comes out of India, which is still the Malabar pepper, but it's a higher grade because it's a bigger berry that's dried.
Okay.
And you might have heard of it. It's called telecherry.
Telecherry, yes. Yeah.
So telecherry is, uh, uh, people think it means it comes from a certain area in the Malabar coast, but it doesn't. It means that it's coming. It means that what they do is they sift the berries and or the peppercorns once they're done, and the ones that are 4 1/4 millimeters or larger are considered telecherry.
Okay, all right. So that's like tea. Orange pico and pico are not the flavor of the tea. It's the cut of the leaves.
It's the cut of the leaves.
Yeah. So
right.
In this case, so if I'm saying, oh, I don't want Malabar pepper. I want telecherry. It's so
you are getting Malabar pepper. You're just getting Malabar
okay.
pepper. You know, and they got those are the grades. I mean, that's called extra bold.
Okay.
Is the grade for telecherry. And then there are some that are actually almost a half a centimeter big, 5 millimeters. And when they get to, it's really 4.75 millimeters. When they get that big or bigger, then they have their own name. They're special extra bold. And that means you're going to pay a premium. You know,
those are probably almost the size of a juniper berry then.
Yeah, getting close. Getting close. But yeah, that's the thing is that the telecherries, you can actually force the harvest a little to make telecherries.
Okay.
If you just let it, remember we talked about picking them at variaison, right, when they're just about to start to ripen, but
right.
they're still green. Well, what some do is they push it and they let them start to get towards the reddening process. Maybe green-yellow. Each berry is a little yellow.
Is that
yellow.
Where those multicolored peppercorns come from then?
You're talking about the mix?
Yes, I've seen
No,
those.
They just take white pepper and black pepper
okay,
and red pepper, and then they shake it up and they stick it in the grinder.
All right.
So, yeah. No, but in this case, what they'll do is they'll push it to a point where it goes a little bit beyond being just green. It starts to yellow a little on its way to orange and red.
Okay.
And they pick them then. Two reasons. One reason is that the longer you let it stay in the vine, the bigger it grows. The bigger it grows, the better chance you're going to have telecherry. That's one. And number two, the one of the hallmarks of telecherry is that they're a little bit. They have a sweetness component that regular Malabar doesn't.
Okay.
And ripening brings out sugar production and sweetness. So that's how that happens.
So you're really So it's like wine grapes. You're either picking for sweetness or varietal expression, depending on what you want the end product to be. So white pepper. The white pepper is black pepper is dried, right? Not from it's dried, right?
Yeah, white pepper's boiled before
to get rid of the
and then it's soaked.
Okay.
And it's allowed to soak a week. We're going to keep this for another time, but just real quick. Basically, it soaks for a week. That takes the outer coating of it, and it makes it disintegrate. And that outer coating is what blackens. Now that it's disintegrated,
there's no
coating to blacken. So when they dry white.
Okay, because when people would talk about using black pepper and things, and it seems in Europe there's maybe more white pepper used. I think a lot of it's the appearance. In a light sauce, you don't want the black specks.
Right.
And in North America, we tend to use more black pepper. I know appearance is important, but there is a difference in flavor, right, between the black and the white. The black seems to have more of that spiciness, like the spice characteristic, the nose. The
greener it is, the more piperine is in it.
Okay.
So you tend to get more spiciness. Also, depending on the region, the relative amount of piperine, which is that hotness.
Mm-hmm.
That would vary too, but the aroma of black pepper is really due to a compound called rotundone, and rotundone is classic aroma of black pepper.
And that is whether you're using white or black, you're going to get the aroma.
Yeah, the plant itself, Piper nigrum, produces the same things.
Okay.
How you treat it later on is immaterial to what it's already in.
So you still have the heat, you still have the aroma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always thought there was. All right.
There are there are differences. You wind up. You wind up changing when you change the process. You wind up modifying the flavor.
Okay.
You do that. I mean, you can't. You know. Anything you cook, you've got to do it by a certain process. You can't just throw it together any way you want. It won't come out the same necessarily. And like this, pepper depends on two things: where it's grown and how it's processed.
Just like most things, right?
Yep.
We wanted to get into, I know you've been curious, a couple of recipes. I know you mentioned Hasenpfeffer, which is pepper hair.
Yep.
Because I thought, and Pfeffernuss also, the cookies, they're a little spice cookie, I think originated probably
is it German?
Holland and Northern Europe, yeah.
Okay.
And they don't, I mean, it's not a black pepper cookie per se, but there's all there's the mace and all those aromatic, I call them the fall spices or winter spices for lack of it, those kind of flavors, but there is black pepper in them also. And that means it translates to pepper nut, so I guess they look like a big, either those little round, hard cookies. Huh. And so they have black pepper in them. But the Hasenpfeffer, it was like a treating game, which the hare would be, the older, mature rabbit, let's say.
Right.
I know just a sauce, a poivre with meats, but the game marinade for Hasenpfeffer, also, say, venison. Game really takes on the characteristics of black pepper really well, just like it does with red wine, or if you're using vinegar, you use red vinegar, something a little stronger because of the flavor. And I guess that's from back when you're harvesting game, we call it harvesting to be nice, in the wild, you stop the thing in its tracks, the animal. Whereas when you're commercially producing meats, the blood is allowed to pump out. So that's where that gaminess comes from.
Oh,
with
is
food.
That right? Oh.
So some of it was for preservation, some was to overcome that strong flavor. So you've got your red wine, you've got your black pepper, it's to kind of counteract the gaminess, if you will. And that's why nowadays, you know, even all the stuff, I mean, commercially raised and harvested, the diet's controlled, vegetarian diets, and you don't have those issues. But I mean, it was mainly in the slaughter.
You know, you correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that, you know, when you say gamey, you're talking about strong flavor.
Right.
And often, in order to modify strong flavor, you need a strong spice.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wouldn't use something like marjoram, which is very mild flavored. But something like pepper really comes forward when you put it into something, especially if you put a lot in. So definitely I can see that in gamey type of things like Hasenpfeffer, you would want to use a prominent spice that's really going to, you know, make.
Yes, because that was the older, rabbit in this country hardly any is produced, and you know, it's like it's looks like little chickens there. It's very mild flavor, but you know, the older rabbits, you know, you need something for that flavor. But black pepper, you know, use it in the marinade, and of course, then when I do a sauerbraten, you have the red wine vinegar, and there's juniper, but peppercorns are in there also, and we boil that marinade first and strain it and chill it, and that puts that flavor of those spices in there. But a poivrade sauce, coming in the French sauces, which is, you know, what I kind of key to, is a game sauce traditionally based on black pepper. And you've heard of steak au poivre, which is a pan sauce. We've done that with, most often done with filet, although a strip steak is nice, but the filet with kind of now the opposite. Our filet doesn't have a whole lot of flavor, so you're adding with that black pepper crust. And I always think the crushed pepper kind of holds the steak off the pan, so it's not going to stick. It kind of, you put that coating on there, so you're searing it, but it gives you a little bit of barrier between the meat and the pan, especially lean meat that's not otherwise would need a lot of oil.
Is the pepper used whole or cracked?
We crack it, and I was going to ask you the best way. I do it with the on a kitchen towel, with the edge of a frying pan and kind of roll it. Just rock it over the peppercorns. Don't try to sit there with a mallet and do it because they're going to splash all over the place. We've done grinders, spice grinders, but they seem to give you, they're meant to be really pulverize things.
Right.
So
right.
The ultimate thing is you're grinding until everything is finely ground. When you try to half grind, you're going to get some, you know, some that's powder, some that's not. Mortar and pestle is probably the oldest way, just you can kind of see what you're doing. It's the same motion as I do with the pan. I do it on a kitchen towel so they don't roll all over the place, but a cutting board, clean kitchen towel, and the edge of a heavy pan or a pot, and just roll it over them, and you can kind of see, you know, you want them cracked into a few pieces, but not ground too finely.
Yeah, there's actually differences. There's this half-cracked, quarter-cracked.
Well, there's a butcher grind that's kind of a coarse grind for sausages.
Butcher.
So the black peppers now, we'll make the sauce with green peppercorns, but we put the black on the steak. Now, when you heat those up and cook them, they do soften up a little bit, correct?
They should, yeah. They absorb moisture.
You'd break your teeth, you know, but usually a steak au poivre, you've got that crunch on there, but it's not bad. If you try to crunch a whole peppercorn, you're going to break a tooth, but once you crack it, it seems when it's in a sauce.
Remember, when you start cooking meats, especially if the peppercorns are underneath, they're trapped between the pan and the meat. That hot meat gives off steam,
okay.
And steam rehydrates the corns.
Right, so that they do soften up a little bit.
So they do soften up a bit.
Yeah. So we kind of do the both because the sauce, the green peppercorn, you can kind of be liberal. We leave those whole, although some places chop them or puree them even, but that really gives a nice spice flavor. And you're thinking, are you taking them out of the brine? Are they going to be this? But they really do pack that sauce in there. So we'll do it with both. There's the Chinese black pepper. Well, black pepper chicken, I guess, is the cliche now. But if you think of the pepper steak in Chinese cooking, and most people, that's steak and green peppers. But there also is a black pepper sauce that goes with it. So the black pepper chicken or the pepper steak, you're using a fair amount of freshly ground black pepper with your rice wine and your little bit of fish sauce or soy sauce. You want a little sugar. Honey is actually a great condiment to have on hand is black pepper honey. Have you tried that?
Never tried it. It sounds delicious.
So you take black, I've seen recipes where you heat the honey a little bit, but really you take freshly crushed pepper and let it steep in the honey. Of course, you don't have to refrigerate honey. You keep it at room temperature. If you warm the honey a little bit, it's going to infuse the honey with that black pepper flavor. And you can be fairly liberal with that. I mean, for a half cup of honey, you could put 2 teaspoons of coarse ground black pepper in there, which is quite a bit.
Hmm.
And then it becomes like a dip or a spread. Or it could be the base for one of these stir fries where you're stir frying the meat and then using that as the sweetener / spice.
Here's an interesting tidbit. I guess you mentioned black pepper and honey. It's actually an old Asian remedy for night blindness. They would use black pepper and honey, and that would supposedly as an a topical type
of thing.
Oh,
so you'd thing. Apply that?
Yeah, it was applied topically, and supposedly it was supposed to help with night blindness. So,
well, I've seen with the as a cough remedy, the honey and black pepper, or honey and tea, or honey and lemon and black pepper, a little bit of spice. I think some of my Central American friends actually would use. Well, they would probably wouldn't use black. They'd probably use the chilies, like cayenne or something that.
Red pepper.
But, yeah, hot pepper. But hot pepper, honey, that kind of mixture there is supposed to be, you know, if you got a sore throat or a cough, which...
Well, I could see that.
Yeah, I gargle with salt water myself. But, you know,
you throw back a glass of that, and the last thing you'd be thinking about
that's
is
what
your
say,
sore
a couple,
throat.
A couple of tablespoons, you know, and it's supposed to be good for coughs and things like that. We're going to take a couple of messages here, and then we're going to wind up. I got another one. Cacio e pepe. Have you heard of that dish?
No, I haven't.
That's the little darling now of Italian restaurants. So we'll get. Yeah, it's related to the carbonara. So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Back at the table here. So the black pepper, yeah, the peppercorn sauce, the pan sauce that we talked about with the cracked black pepper. The cacio e pepe is the one. Before we go into, we're going to go into some flavor profiles of some of these different. I'm intrigued by the terminology. I just thought black pepper was black pepper, but I've heard of the telecherry, but never knew all these other things were there. But basically the cacio e pepe is cheese and pepper. Should be a good grated sheep's cheese. So if you think of Alfredo with the butter and Parmesan from that region, this is more of the Roman style. And amatriciana and carbonara both use the pancetta or the guanciale, the pork cheek. The amatriciana, of course, is a tomato-based sauce. The carbonara, we know the charcoal burner, gets a good dusting of fresh ground black pepper. And you have your cheese and eggs blended, and that kind of makes the sauce on the cooked pasta. You don't cook the sauce further. Cacio e pepe, and many, many different, everybody can kind of customize this, but you do need fresh ground black pepper. The pasta is up to you. Usually use a long pasta. A little bit of the pasta water helps make the sauce. And you can have a little bit of the pork fat if you like, but you know, some people use butter, some people use olive oil. They use fresh pasta, use dried pasta. But basically, you're making a sauce with the pasta water and some of the cheese and a hefty grinding of black pepper. Now, the timing is important because you're doing this off the heat. You don't want to curdle the cheese. And whether you add oil or butter, again, you know, Romans would never use butter. They would abhor that. But as I say, there's as many ways as there are cooks to make this, but one of the quickest meals, and I know when I was younger, you go out at night and you come back home and nothing to eat. Well, always got a pound of spaghetti somewhere and some boiling water, and you have some cheese and some. That was basically it. So, good quick food. But now the restaurants, it's kind of the third popular Roman third type of Roman pasta. Now that's kind of being rediscovered as you have it. So the flavor profiles of these peppers now, Pete, what about, are they all different or are they all?
Yeah, there are differences. Now, to the untrained palate, I guess it's tastes like pepper to me, you know. But there are differences, some of them are subtle and some of them are not so subtle. For instance, right now I have in stock lampang black pepper. That is a very small peppercorn, and it's very well balanced in flavor in terms of the hotness of it versus the aromaticity in different blends of flavors. You'll find that, like for lampang, citrusy, earthy, and pine notes will come out, and that is accompanied all along with relatively strong heat. So lampang is strong.
So are those characteristics, are they mainly if you're grinding it on freshly cooked food, or does it come through when you're cooking with it?
If you freshly grind it on, you'll get the largest gamut of bouquet, simply because you're not evaporating any of the more
so that's really
the oils.
You could you know, make a sauce with say ground pepper, but to finish, you could finish with this to kind of bring out those other notes. I cook with dried herbs, but then I'll finish with fresh.
And that makes sense, because you will wind up taking those flavor notes, those elements of flavor that you've either modified by the heat,
right,
or have evaporated away, and you'll replace them back in. And yeah, that's what makes food flavor more bright with spice, and that's a big thing too, is when to add. Some spices can survive the cooking process better.
Right.
You know, certain spices, you shouldn't be adding them up front.
Well, I remember you said that, because I made a cranberry chutney yesterday for, we served roast turkey. I didn't have any, I know people would ask for it. I didn't have any cranberry jelly from Thanksgiving, but I had some frozen cranberries. But I remember what you said, so I put my clove and allspice and ginger powder in towards the end, because the chutney, I had to cook it for a while, get the pectin. I had apples, cranberry, onions, the vinegar, and sugar. And I put all the other stuff in at the end, so it kind of had more of that flavor towards the end rather than putting it. I guess if I had thrown a cinnamon stick in there in the beginning, it would have been okay.
It would have been all right, yeah.
But probably. I remembered what you said last week when we were talking, and
it will make a difference.
Put them in towards the end. So plus probably have to use a little bit less too, right?
That too. I mean, the freshness of the spice is going to really.
Well, that's the other thing. Now you say you've got, and not to interrupt, but
sure,
the shelf life on spices, and I know you said about your business model, like, all right, something that has doesn't spoil so quickly as fresh things.
That's true.
But you've still got.
I see your point. It sounds like the proposition sounds absurd. I mean, what are you worried about freshness if they last a long time? Aren't they opposite ends of the stick? The what I mean is basically when we buy, we look to buy that year's harvest if we can. And the reason being is that over time, even dried spices, even in their whole form, will eventually lose their lighter flavor notes. And eventually they will start to wane in flavor. So what the bottom line is that if you buy them much earlier, then like right after they are exported, you buy it then, you're probably going to have a dried product that is packed with the most flavor possible. And to keep it that way, you try to buy them in their wholest form. So,
right,
for instance, if you were to buy nutmeg from your ground, it's not something that was ground 6 months ago. It wasn't anything that was ground a month ago. It was ground the day before I deliver. And the reason being is that the whole nut is a hard shell.
Right.
And it keeps all the flavor oils in. Once you break open the shell, the process of evaporation oxidation, it all starts. And so you might say, well, yeah, but I'm going to have it for 4 months or 3 months. Yeah, but do you want it 4 months after it's been on the shelf for six, or you want it 4 months from fresh?
Yeah, you want to control the 4 months.
Yeah, so you want it to be your 4 months, not someone else's 6 months on top of it.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't really devalue them. It just, but I think what happens in doing recipe work for years, you see the measurements of some things, and you wonder, because you follow, you know, a lot of times I'll follow, you know, right by the book the first time and then assess it and see what I want to change. Some people like to change right from the get. You wonder, because you follow, you know, a lot of times I'll follow, you know, right by the book the first time and then assess it and see what I want to change. Some people like to change right from the get-go. But the measurements on things, I don't know, do they assume that you're using, you know, freshly ground spices? Or sometimes you see the amounts on things and you're like, wait, it sounds like way too much. And maybe when the person tested the recipe, they had old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's whoever wrote down the recipe probably made it right before they wrote it down, and they used what they had. I think you're right.
Yeah, and sometimes it does. It's you taste it and say, it didn't seem like enough. So maybe, you know, they took it from, you know, from somebody else, and then, you know, just. But you never think of the strength of the spices as being that important. But, and I'm sure in baking, which is such a precision craft, you know, you've got to measure and weigh everything, it's all science, that when you're doing things with spices in a cake or a pastry, that you really have to watch it, the freshness of it.
Not only that, I mean, some places resort to kicking their spices up a notch, and what they'll do is they'll not only use the spice, but they might also follow it with a little flavor oil from that. So a lot of these spices also be sold as
extracts.
Essential oil.
Yeah, oils are extracts.
And so what they do is, you know, they might add the spice and taste and say, you know, I don't want to add more spice. It's going to take too long. Let me add some oil in, and they'll play like that. But essential oils are much more expensive than the spice. And if you have, generally they tell you shouldn't have anything in the cupboard more than 6 months. If it's more than 6 months old, it's going to start to go, and some things faster than others.
Right.
But, you know, that's one way that some people will take a product, food product, and intensify the flavors by adding some of the flavor oil.
Okay. Yeah, and I could see also if you're using something that's older to get, say with a nutmeg, you want that certain aroma of a nutmeg, and you keep adding more and you keep adding more, but then you're going to get other flavors in there that might be too much. There might be the bitterness or whatever.
That's right.
It's going to be...
It's a whole profile in
nutmeg.
Yeah,
so you're trying to look for one thing,
and
you're carrying some of the other. Unfortunately, it's noon already. A quick hour. We've got to get you back on here. Yeah, this should be a good regular gig here. So anyway, it's Chef Bill's Table. We're saying thanks to Pete Nercio from Black River Spice and Tea Company in Old Wick, New Jersey. And we're going to hear more from Pete, because really these spices are the backbone of a lot of good cooking. Thanks very much, Pete.
You're welcome. Please take a look at our website, www.blackriverspice.com, and please like us on Facebook.
All right, Pete. Have a good week. We'll talk to everybody next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunt.